听力课堂，听 class.com。
Lesson 13. Prolific. Copious. Candid. Repugnant. Vehement. Misadventure. Sordid. Galvanize. Mandatory. Secretive. Wizard. Turbulent. Dossier. Outfit. Unsuspecting. Holding. Cocaine. Snort. Flip. Bum. Nonchalant. Hearth. Sanctum. Asylum. Hormone. Reinstate. Relapse. Relegate. Rejuvenate. Lacquer. Relinquish. Retaliate. Reverend. Credulous. Retarded. Ulterior. Antelope. Wave. Wares. Iterate. Excise. Verbatim. Fastidious. Hilarious. Gregarious. Congenital. Concord. Blatant. Blemish. Blotter. Slimy. Passage 1. The movement towards realism in the English novel of the 19th century reached its acme with the works of Charles Dickens and William Makepeace Thackeray. Charles Dickens was a prolific writer. Among his copious works are Oliver Twist, a candid exposure of the repugnant poor laws, Nicholas Nickleby, in which the life of boys in a boarding school is vehemently attacked, Hard Times, in which the author wanted to depict the infamous life in a factory during an early period of the Industrial Revolution, The Pickwick Papers, about a naive gentleman who has numerous misadventures. The novels, aimed at exposing the sordid and pernicious elements of English life, were said to have helped galvanize people into action leading to improvement in these conditions. Passage 2. The senior partner, Oliver Lambert, studied the resume for the 100th time and again found nothing he disliked about Mitchell Y. McDeer. At least not on paper. He had the brains, the ambition, the good looks, and he was hungry. With his background, he had to be. He was married, and that was mandatory. The firm had never hired an unmarried lawyer, and it frowned heavily on divorce, as well as womanizing and drinking. Drug testing was in the contract. He had a degree in accounting and passed the CPA exam the first time he took it and wanted to be a tax lawyer, which of course was a requirement with a tax firm. He was white, and the firm never hired a black. They managed this by being secretive and cubbish and never soliciting job applications. Other firms solicited and hired blacks. This firm recruited and remained lily white. Plus, the firm was in Memphis, and the top blacks wanted New York or Washington or Chicago. McDeer was a male, and there were no women in the firm. That mistake had been made in the mid-70s when they recruited the number one grad from Harvard, who happened to be a she and a wizard at taxation. She lasted 4 turbulent years and was killed in a car wreck. He looked good on paper. He was their top choice. In fact, this year there were no other prospects. The list was very short, and it was McDear or no one. The managing partner, Royce McKnight, studied a dossier labeled Mitchell Y. McDear, Harvard, an inch thick with small print and a few photographs. It had been prepared by some ex-CIA agents in a private intelligence outfit in Bethesda. They were clients of the firm, and each year did the investigating for no fee. It was easy work, they said, checking out unsuspecting law students. They learned, for instance, that he preferred to leave the Northeast, that he was holding three job offers, two in New York and one in Chicago, and that the highest offer was $76,000 and the lowest was $68,000. He was in demand. He had been given the opportunity to cheat on a securities exam during his second year. He declined and made the highest grade in class. 2 months ago, he had been offered cocaine at a law school party. He said no and left when everyone began snorting. He drank an occasional beer, but drinking was expensive and he had no money. He owed close to $23,000 in student loans. He was hungry. Royce McKnight flipped through the dossier and smiled. McDear was their man. Lamar Quill was 32 and not yet a partner. He'd been brought along to look young and act young and project a youthful image for Bendini, Lambert, and Locke, which was in fact a young firm, since most of the partners retired in their late 40s or early 50s with money to burn. He would make a partner in this firm. With a six-figure income guaranteed for the rest of his life, Lamar could enjoy the $1,200 tailored suits that hung so comfortably from his tall, athletic frame. He strolled nonchalantly across the $1,000-a-day suit and poured another cup of decaf. He checked his watch. He glanced at the two partners sitting at a small conference table near the windows. Precisely at 2:30, someone knocked on the door. Lamar looked at the partners, who slid the resume and dossier into an open briefcase. All three reached for their jackets. Lamar buttoned his top button and opened the door.